Biohazard, the report.
Thanks for tuning in for yet another episode of Opinions on Movies Based on Horror Video Games. I'm your host, Thea. Selyse.
Oh, hi, and I'm Selyse. I was like, why is she being so quiet? It's me, I'm supposed to talk now. Do we wanna maybe take that one again?
No, we're gonna keep going. In this episode, we're covering Resident Evil.
Did you say the name of the podcast?
Nope. Maybe we should start over. All right.
No. This is it. This is podcasting. Let's go.
All right. We're here. Let's do it.
And this episode, we're covering real-time fandub games and the examination of Club Penguin user Floppy Feet by Snapcube. Welcome. Just a quick warning before we get started, any more than we already have. The show discusses body horror, death, zombies, other possibly triggering topics typical of the horror genre. We try our best to be clean and not nasty, but sometimes the content we talk about does not. Just a fair warning. And today we're joined by our good friend and fellow Resident Evil enthusiast, Mars.
Hello. Hi.
Welcome.
Hi, I'm Mars. I do so many things.
You do many things. One of which is play Resident Evil games.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The most relevant and I would argue most important thing that I make. With fucking Thea over here. Are we allowed to swear?
Yes. Yep.
Okay, cool.
Yes, we
cool.
are.
I always forget to clarify whenever I guest on a podcast. And then I just go swinging. Yeah. Every Wednesday I stream Resident Evil games with Thea.
With me.
Over on twitch.tv/codesofgothmars. Yeah, it's a grand fun time.
Yeah, and then we put stupid mods in the games after we play
very
them.
Stupid.
It's very entertaining.
It's very fun. Anyways, let's get into the movie, the episode.
Yeah.
So maybe we should start by... Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. To start out with, I don't know, Selyse, if you've seen any of the other real-time fandom games.
I have not, no. I watched this one pretty exclusively, but I will be investing in more after this.
Okay, good. Yes, they're one of my favorite things on YouTube right now, where they dub over like cutscenes and some play of a video game and make it into a movie with no rehearsal, no like planned. It's all improv and it's fantastic. And they do a fantastic job, and they did it for Resident Evil 2, the remake that came out in 2019.
But yeah, I'm sort of like, you know, friends with some of the people who worked on this stuff.
Oh, really?
And yeah, not several of them are part of Lunar Light Studio. Yeah, it's I don't remember if I had a point originally, but I think I got
you
I
got
lost
somewhere.
My place. I got somewhere. Hey, I know some of these people.
Hey, that's cool.
Me pointing at the screen. I know you.
I know. Yeah, the first thing that I noticed when I watched this for the first time is that the audio in the car radio, the truck radio, is an episode of Badvertising, which is a podcast that some of the voice actors for the dub do, which is a fantastic and very, very funny podcast that everyone should be listening to. It won an award, which is really cool. Like a podcast award?
Yeah, it's genuinely, I mean, it is definitely one of the most exciting podcasts of, like, literally the last year.
Do we know what the
name
of this podcast is?
Badvertising.
Yeah.
Let me just jot that down on my notepad over here.
Okay, yeah. So the first thing that, like, shows up on the screen when you watch, when you click play on this YouTube video is a quote by John Milton, who I didn't know who the hell that is, so I had to look it up, and he's a poet from... Oops, I accidentally started the video again, because I was looking for the quote.
Live watch.
Who is an English poet, known for his epic poem Paradise Lost. I've never read the poem. I don't know what it's about, but the quote is good.
What's the quote?
The mind is its own place and in itself can make a heaven of hell a hell of heaven. Which makes sense for the plot of this dubbed...
Bold of you to call it a plot, I would...
What? Are you saying that the layers of this plot are not...
nuanced enough?
Yeah. Well, I mean, honestly, for given the fact that this is completely off the cuff, that this is, like, real-time acting, no prep, this plot line is better than some of the, like, the highly directed, high-budget movies that we just finished watching. It's definitely better than 2.
Yeah.
For sure better than 5.
And, oh, for sure.
Like,
absolutely.
100%.
No, for sure, like I have massive respect for all of the people who make their ability to, like, quickly, like, find a way to, like, just take what somebody else said and really run with it. And, like, have a genuine level of continuity, even though it's just bits and jokes. It's really, like, I don't know. It's genuinely, like, very cool.
The level of callback to this was insane. Like, how quickly they could remember a bit and do it in perfect comedic timing. Was, I would dare call it genius, especially considering this is all improv. There's no, like, it's beautiful.
It's a talent, yeah, for sure. Speaking of, what would you describe the plot as?
It's kind of like Inside Out, but if Inside Out was a horror movie.
I was going to say they turned Resident Evil 2 into The Evil Within a little bit.
Okay, also works for sure.
Yeah, I like that. I like that comparison. Yeah, it's so far removed from the actual plot of Resident Evil 2 that it's hard to really think of it as part of the game.
Sure.
Like, like, completely different characters. One of my favorite things, though, is that when they say, like, there's just one-liners, they just throw them out there, but then they stick so much into, and then they wrap it up into the plot. And when Floppy Feast says, "That's my mind," when the video camera comes up and Leon's standing outside, that one line sets the entire plot for the whole dub. it's good.
It's wild. It's, yeah, just, like, everything absolutely builds on top of, like, just this one scene of a character that doesn't, that becomes the central character, even though they aren't in the rest of it because they straight up die.
Yeah, he straight up, well, in this movie, he shoots himself
That's,
to death.
Yeah.
Oh, we should probably clarify who, Floppy Feet is the cop from the beginning of the, from the beginning part.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
He's okay. The lieutenant.
Yeah, Marvin Branagh.
Yeah, I don't think we said that, and that's a very key point.
Which is why I was saying it's so hard for me to connect these characters in the dub with the characters from Resident Evil, because, like, he's Floppy Feet to me when he's in this movie.
Yes. See, this was my first time actually watching this fan dub, because I was avoiding spoilers for the game, because I hadn't played it when it came out.
Same.
And there is an argument to be made that there aren't any spoilers in it.
I mean, there are, like, cutscene spoilers in the fact that you see what's happening, but because you can't at all decipher in any sort of way what is actually happening plot-wise because of the dub that's over it, you have no physical idea of knowing what's happening at any point ever. So, like, visual spoilers, yes, but, like, plot spoilers is a stretch.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They also give plots to characters that previously did not have a plot, like Mr. X. I love the establishment of Mr. X as a feral librarian is the best part of this entire cinematography masterpiece.
Especially if you consider that every other character in this game is somehow a part of the consciousness of Floppy Feet. But Mr. X is just an angry librarian.
How did he get there? What is he doing
in
there?
I think, like, the implication, right? Because, like, Claire and Leon are not part of Flappy Feet's mindscape. They enter
No, they're
it.
Real humans.
Right. And I think that like this angry librarian Mr. X also just followed them in. But like, is he the police station's librarian? There is a library in it. I don't know.
No, he is the librarian. Okay. He is the librarian to all books. It's kind of like how the Doctor in Doctor Who is just the Doctor. Mm-hmm. He is just the librarian. He doesn't have a library. He is just the librarian.
Guys, I'm sorry. I just realized I'm not recording on my good microphone.
Oh, no.
Hold on. Okay.
Where were we?
We were talking about the librarian.
Yes, Mr. X.
How the Doctor is the Doctor, the librarian is the librarian, and go.
And go. That's, yeah.
Mm-hmm, that's that.
Should we, try and give a summation of the plot of this?
Oh.
Yeah. Special guest, would you like to give your best shot at decoding a Resident Evil game?
In 15 words or less.
So in 15 words or less, the plot of this. Oh, I wish I would. Hold on. I'm going to write these out. I want to get it exactly.
Oh, geez. Okay.
Okay.
I'm ready.
We got this.
Yeah. Okay. I've got my 15 words.
Cool.
Okay.
Are you ready?
We're ready.
Friends go into Brainscape of Floppy Feet, who loves Club Penguin and shits. Responsibility fucks up.
Is that it? Wow, that was really short.
Is that it?
Yeah. That's 15 words.
That's 15 words. Okay. Should we give a cast of characters? Okay, so we have Floppy Feet is Martin Lieutenant Copman.
Yes. Martin Branagh.
That's his full Christian name.
Mm-hmm.
Leon and Claire are just Leon and Claire. Mm-hmm. Sherry is childlike wonder, right?
Childhood innocence.
Yeah, childhood innocence, yeah.
Innocence, yes. Ada is...
It's his Bobby Feet's sexual inclinations.
I couldn't remember the exact wording. It was so important.
The mom, whose name I don't remember, is Responsibility. What's her name?
Yes.
Annette
Birkin.
Yeah.
Yes. William Birkin is
the
is
Lunchables.
Lunchables. The tyrant is
I think William Birkin is like before he became the Lunchables, he was Chaos.
Yes.
Yeah.
Before he became Lunchables, he was Chaos. And then he got the, what was it? What was the juice? Oh, it was just the juice, I think, right?
It was just juice, yeah.
Yes. And then he became Lunchables.
And then he became Lunchables.
The commissioner is negativity, uh-huh. Right? He's all the bad thoughts.
Floppy Feet's bad thoughts.
Bad thoughts. And then everybody else is just... people.
Yeah.
Like there's
are just real ass human people.
I love they add little like conversations and snippets of lines to the zombies that are just hanging out or like being shot at. It's very good.
Although sometimes it does turn into complete chaos and I cannot hear what's being said.
That's very true. And
yeah. Here is something I could not figure out. So this was my first interaction with this channel, right? How many people were on the cast?
There's Penny Parker, who's Claire, Leon, Mr. X, Ada Wong, Sherry, and then there's one more voice for like extra voices, and then some of the other people do extra voices as well.
Yeah, I think from what I heard, I think the cast, and this is a thing that's probably in the credits of the video.
Oh yeah, I can probably look at it. I have it open right now.
Yeah, but I believe it's Penny Parker, Ryan Mitchum, Haley Rose, Blue Lennox, Red last name.
yes. Red last name, my favorite.
Alfred Coleman.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's it. I think that's all I Oh, wait, Chase. Chase is also it. So that's
what, six?
That's six people.
Seven?
Yeah, six people.
Six people. Okay. There were just times where I had trouble differentiating between voices, so it was a little hard for me as, like, a brand new, like, virgin to the channel. It was a little hard for me to differentiate between voices sometimes.
Chase and Ryan sound very similar, I feel like.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's fair. I think that, like... It's a little easier in the other fan dubs when they're all like Sonic characters and you can visually understand, like, just at a glance who's talking mm-hmm. better.
They also do more, like, funny voices in those ones because they're, like, yeah. cartoon characters.
Yeah.
I love the song that Penny does for the Chapter 2 montage where she's around going around the police station shooting zombies.
Yeah, absolutely.
Penny it's a good song.
Penny, I love how she, like, in all of these, she will put in, like, at least one original song or cover.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, she puts so much work into these.
Yeah, there's so much work put into these. Mm-hmm. And it really shows. They do such a good job.
Yeah.
So my notes go from the establishment of Mr. X to the voice actor for Ada for sexual inclinations, trying not to laugh at her own jokes the whole time.
Yeah, that's Haley Rose, and that's very much a Haley Rose do.
And it's one of the things that I find so funny about this one, and even the whole of the fandub games movies, is that it's really funny because they laugh at their jokes the whole time, and it's infectious.
For me, the funniest bit of the whole thing is when Claire is just baiting the librarian.
Oh my god, yeah. Claire, where'd you go?
Oh, I guess I'll go back up the stairs. Hey, wait a minute.
I have to go back to the tending of my book.
It's so excellent.
That one, and then where there's a zombie dancing outside the window to the song, and he's like, come on, Claire, join me. She's like, nah, fuck it up, dude, you do your thing.
I can't dance because it's not part of the controls, but I mean, fuck it up. It's excellent. Another thing that's on the similar vein is when Leon is baiting Tyrant into the doorway that's detoured.
And it's just great, like, to Thea's point of just, like, everyone is, like, in the call is just laughing. And, like, it's edited to, like, I'm sure that, like, things are muted or whatever. But, like, I do love when the laughs are left in.
Yeah.
It's excellent.
It's
So I have a question for the both of you, I think.
Mm-hmm.
How much Club Penguin experience do y'all have?
I barely remember Club Penguin. Like, I know I went on there at some point in my youth, my childhood. Well, it's more like middle school, I think. Like, end of elementary school.
Oh.
Yes, Celeste, tell us.
Let me, let the Club Penguin master.
I'm so glad.
Chime in.
Yeah. I'm so glad.
So I had Club Penguin on many devices, okay? I had Club Penguin on my DS that I took with me everywhere. I found all the Puffles like 800 times, okay? I was a pro. Thank you. I bought out the catalog. Thank you.
Oh my god.
And then when Club Penguin came to the online, oh, you better bet I got my parents' permission to get an account.
So Lisa, I did not know this about you. This is very fun.
Oh yeah, I played Club Penguin until the day it shut down. It was a dirty secret that I carried with me through high school.
The fact that I'm in shock was not surprising to me. The fact that Thea's in shock is...
So, for the record, we were a group of friends in high school, right?
Yeah.
Like, we did many, many, many things together. This was a dirty secret that I was going to take with me to my grave, but I guess now it's going on the internet,
God.
So that's fine.
You've unearthed Celeste's deepest, darkest secret here on Biohazard the Report, our podcast.
I can't believe it. I didn't realize when I came onto this podcast that I would become an investigative journalist.
I mean, that's just what we're the reporters. This is what we report.
You're right. Oh, wow.
We got the juice.
Getting
those scoops.
I'm so red and blushing right now. Like,
please.
I'm getting hot. Like, I'm like, oh, no. They know.
So Mars, what was your online youth interaction? What site did you go to?
For sure, it was Toontown.
Oh,
Toontown.
I spent a lot of time in Toontown and Wizard 101.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Where I just played as, like, much as I could with the free subscription. I would start characters over.
Mm-hmm.
And I was never able to, like, put more money into it. And frankly, that's a good thing. But, yeah, I spent so much time on Toontown. And then the other one that is maybe more embarrassing is Team Fortress 2. Not embarrassing because of the game, but because I spent in my childhood, including while we were friends in high school, over 3,500 hours in TF2.
Wow. I didn't even know Team Fortress 2 existed until a couple years ago.
I learned about Team Fortress 2 when Overwatch came out, and everyone was so mad that Overwatch was like Team Fortress 2.
Yeah, same. Like, when I was a youngin', just a bean, I skipped around on the sites that I would spend a lot of time on. I think the most memorable, I think it was called VMK. It was a Virtual Magic Kingdom where you would go into like a Club Penguin, but it was Disneyland, and hang around.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, I think I remember that. I don't think I ever went, but I think the name is very familiar to me.
Yeah, it actually recently just came
back. I feel like that's something I saw on Tumblr. Like, it was something that people were like, y'all should come join my thing on this thing. But I was afraid to have anything with any real human interaction.
Oh, my God.
Which is why I stuck to things like DS Neo, Club Penguin and, like, Neopets. Mm-hmm. To where I could, like, play the games and not talk to anybody.
There was another one that I don't remember the name of, but it was very anime-y. Oh, what is... I can't remember the name of it. And then there was one... Oh, I also can't remember the name, but it was like an MMORPG sort of thing.
Was it potentially MapleStory?
No, it was not MapleStory.
Because I spent some time in MapleStory.
It was very much similar to MapleStory, though. It was very... It's a very cringy, you know... Cringe culture doesn't exist, but it was a very cringy place to hang out on the internet. Oh, God, I wish I could remember the name. Anyways.
Do you want to hear potentially my most embarrassing TF2 story?
Yes, please tell us.
Please do.
So I was playing when I was like, I don't know, 12 or something. Up until probably... junior, senior year in high school is maybe around when I stopped playing. And I actually somehow through just chatting with people in servers ended up going on a real life date with someone that I met in Team Fortress 2.
Oh my God.
We went to the mall, but it wasn't even a close mall. It was a far mall, and I had to convince my parents and drag my sister along to chaperone.
Oh, my God.
Oh, buddy, that's rough.
That's such a kid thing to do, though.
It's 100%. And, of course, it didn't go to a second date. It was a total nothing of even anything. But it was I felt very adventurous as a child.
Wow. We were so brave back then.
Yeah.
Oh, yes, I was very brave with my DS in my pillow fort playing Club Penguin.
Fuck yeah.
For sure. When I was, like, a sophomore in high school. Uh-huh. Very adventurous.
I am 100% sure if you would have told us, we really could have gotten back into Club Penguin with you.
Yeah, probably we would have gotten into Club Penguin with you.
I guess that's fair. I guess it was one of those things that, like... You, like, at the time are like, no one can know. But then looking back on it, you're like, you know, my friends are nerds. They probably, like, this is not the most embarrassing thing they've seen me do.
Oh.
I'm sure that it would have been fine.
That is the hindsight that comes with becoming an adult. And we'll have a lot of, I'm sure as we keep going... We'll have a lot of hindsight on, like, this time in our lives where it's like, why did we do that?
Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, for sure. Can I talk to you guys about Dumbledore?
Yes.
Excuse me, who?
Dumbledore.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Oh, you wanted to circle back around and do the podcast.
I kind of want to do the podcast now, guys. Can we talk about our
Dumbledore,
our friend, the yellow shape?
What an excellent segue to the best character, Dumbledore, who is the deceased, literally dead, slumped over member who is in a hazmat suit in the lab, on like in the sub lab where you like make the herbicide.
Sorry, deep in Floppy Feet's recesses of his mind.
Yeah.
In his consciousness, yes, of course. I'm sorry.
And I forget who voices him, but both Claire and Leon at different points come up to him and are like, hey man, what are you doing? He's like, oh, I'm just, you know, I'm just hanging out. And they're just tormenting this poor man.
Yeah, but at some point it's just like to Claire's like, oh yeah, you could do one thing for me. You could kill that little girl. It's like, well, I'm not gonna do that. So I don't feel too bad for him.
Yeah, that's true. He does try to kill childlike innocence. Yeah. But then he gets really pissed off at her for not doing the thing that he wants.
Can't believe she won't kill a child. Ugh.
I feel like we've all known that person in our lives, though. The person who's going to be pissed at you for not doing the quote-unquote one thing they need from you. I feel like we've all met that person, though.
For sure.
Although most of those things aren't killing a small child, but you know.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's a big ask. It's frankly a big ask. Like, even for a close friend. But for a stranger, it's very big ask.
Hey, would you guys kill the personification of innocence in a dude's mind if I asked you to?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I would. I trust you.
Cool.
See, here's where I'm at with most of my friends, right? You guys included. I probably wouldn't kill somebody for you, but would I hide the body? For sure.
Ride or die.
There's a very, very short list of people on this earth who I would kill for. You know what? I had an end to the bit and then I forgot it. Go ahead. Hey, future Thea listening back to this, you could do me a big favor and just edit in a second half to that joke.
Oh, okay. Thank you. I'll just pretend that I'm you.
Yes.
Please pitch your voice. Please. Oh my God. That would be awesome. Okay. See, it's hard to talk about this like we've talked about the Resident Evil movies, right? Because there's not really a progression of things that happen.
No, I will say that the one big plot thing that happens is the femininity, force-feming Leon.
Force femininity, yeah.
Leon, by the end of the movie, he's examined his personal biases on gender and femininity and is trans now, and it's beautiful.
I believe by the end of it, they were going with they-them pronouns. I believe that's what they were going with.
I believe so, yeah. It's so funny because I didn't watch this when it came out, but I was aware of other stuff Haley was doing at the time. And at this time, she was big into this kind of joke. And I wonder if it came from this recording or if it's something else. Like, I don't know.
Oh, like which one came before?
Yeah, chicken and egg. It's very, like, genuinely very wholesome, though, at the end. It's just like, and these are my two moms. And it's just like, yeah, that's nice.
It's very
also
good.
At the end, I love the guy in the truck doing the thematic wrap-up while he flips them off and driving by. Very good.
It's so excellent, especially because, so the whole end of the movie they're leading up to, well, how are they going to get childlike innocence out of the mind space, right? Because if she's a figment, she should disappear, right? And they don't address it until the guy is driving by because they have no idea how to wrap it up. And they comment on that and they're like, wow, we can't even wrap up our own damn plot. And it's excellent.
It's hard because like with other games that they do, there are more cutscenes, but with RE2, there's like 5 or 6 big cutscenes in the whole game.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so a lot of it is actual gameplay.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
It's, I don't know, it's an interesting creative challenge, you know?
Uh-huh.
Oh, I was gonna say, I'm new to this channel, but definitely a new fan, for sure. So I don't really know what their video archive is, but boy would I love to see what they could do with Detroit Become Human.
Oh god. Oh no.
Oh boy.
Oh no.
That's nothing but cutscenes.
The Snapcube is it's like mostly Let's Plays and like stream archives and stuff. But Penny does all sorts of stuff that ends up on that channel.
Also the Spider-Man fan dub.
Yeah.
Choice. It's so good. And any of the Sonic ones. All of them, actually. All of the fans. Sometimes, though, the line from the I'm not super familiar with Sonic, but one of the Sonic ones, I think this was like the first one they did, where Eggman is talking about pissing on the moon.
Does have a big piss on the moon speech.
I think I've almost memorized the whole thing.
What? Excuse me?
This is a call out post
for Shadow the Hedgehog on my twitter.com. I can't even
If you haven't memorized, please share.
I can't. I'm laughing too hard. Anyways, go watch that one too.
Oh, I will. I've got a list going here. I've got the podcast, and I've got the Spider-Man thing, and then my next note says piss on the moon.
I'm so glad.
This is a to-do list for the day. Let's see, get my groceries, work on my manuscript, piss on the moon, clean up, you know.
You know what's funny is this is on the same pad of paper that I used to dig like scribble notes for my job, right? so my list in order here is fix Medicare ICN, call Blue Cross, find that podcast, and piss on the moon. You know, just in order of
just
things.
Job things.
Yeah, just
know.
Job things.
Oh yeah, you know. I'm really glad I don't have to take this pad of paper back to work because they would be very confused. I'm going to get a call from HR being like, girl, so your supervisor walked by. It just briefly glanced at your scratch pad. What's going on?
Why are you pissing on the moon?
I mean, incredible like range, I guess, but this is not work appropriate. Anyways,
is there anything else we want to say about Resident Evil 2 real-time fandom games?
It's excellent. Please watch and subscribe to that channel because it's very excellent and we should support them.
There is like a lot to talk about, but it feels like at a certain point it would just be like listing the jokes that are in it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Maybe we should end with our favorite quote.
Oh, ooh, okay.
I'll start.
Okay.
Mine was, for context, this is when Ada appears and goes, female body inspector.
Yeah, she holds up a badge that says FBI on it.
And then Leon goes, lesbian race. Or something like that.
Something like that.
It's excellent. It's very, very good. That was my favorite tiny bit, and I love it. It's very good.
Mars, you go next.
Oh, I go next, huh? Mm-hmm. Oh, it's me, hmm?
Is it because you don't have one
oh,
yet?
It's my turn, hmm?
Don't stall. Quit stalling.
What do you mean I'm stalling? You don't know that. Genuinely, like, I didn't write anything down because I don't take notes. Because I'm a bad podcaster. But I think honestly, like, my favorite line is probably at the end, the wholesome, like, these are my two moms line. I don't know.
That's sweet. I like it.
It is very wholesome in a thing that's full of goofs.
Yeah. I can't remember the specifics of any specific quotes. I'm the worst at that. But I just like the wholesome sentiment at the end.
It's good. That's a good one. I have too many to choose from because I wrote down so many. But I think I'm going to go with besides the part where Mr. X is being baited by Claire on the stairs.
Yeah.
Like, he's talking about how hard it is to get a job when your only qualifications are being big and square.
Yeah.
Which is why he works at a library.
Yeah, that's extremely good, is the thing. The problem with that is that it's extremely good.
That's the problem.
I would love to get that tattooed somewhere on my body. Just, do you know how hard it is when your only qualifications are being big and square?
Oh my god.
Please. Oh, that's so excellent.
Oh, there was one thing that I wanted to talk about that I completely forgot about.
Oh, do tell.
We said earlier, like, Chief Irons in this version of events is just all of all of Floppy Feet's bad thoughts. I will say, even though it's a comedy video, the bad thoughts are no less scary than Chief Irons is in the real game.
Oh, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
What are the moral implications of the embodiment of bad thoughts getting fucked up by a Lunchables monster?
That all your problems can be solved with Lunchables.
This week's episode is sponsored by Lunchables. Game on.
Is this kind of like the Snickers thing? You're not you when you're hungry.
Yeah.
Eat a Lunchables.
Yeah. I love it.
In the original, like, Chief Irons is trying to get Sherry because of umbrella reasons. And in the fan dub, the bad thoughts are trying to get Childlike Innocence to scrub away any innocence left in Floppy Feet's body, which is like, genuinely is like a spook. It's a very spooky implication and whole deal. And like, I believe that he's voiced by Alfred Coleman, I believe. And like, just does such a good job of just being fucking scary.
I mean, to be fair, the closure of Club Penguin did do that to all of us.
True.
I understand where the fear is coming from.
this whole movie, I've cracked the case, this whole movie is a metaphor for the loss of our childhood innocence with the closure of Club Penguin.
Wasn't there supposed to be a Club Penguin 2 at some point?
I have no idea.
There was talk on the forums, but that was mainly just, look, yes, I was on the Club Penguin forums, leave me alone.
Of course you were on the, look, I was on the Team Fortress 2 Reddit. No one's exempt.
No one is absolved of their crimes.
There was a, like, a whisper on the wind, but not really. It was mainly just because, like, it was getting out of control because it was rapidly becoming a very big meme. So it was getting rapidly out of control and they really couldn't, like, control it because it was a kid's game, right? So it was getting rapidly out of control. So they were just like, you know what? No. Y'all fucked up. No.
Yeah. Wow.
My igloo is so rocking, you guys. I'm so pumped.
If it did come back, would you go back to it?
Oh, yeah.
I'll join you.
Yeah. What kind of question was that? Of course I would.
Yeah, if
it was my shame game for like 10 years. Of course I'd go back.
Yeah, if Club Penguin comes back, we'll both get into it with you.
Hell yeah.
I'm so honored. Wow, what great friends I've got. They're willing to play my shame child game with me. Thank you. It's hard to find an end for this, right? Because there's...
I have one final stupid thought.
Okay, tell us.
And please share.
It's a stupid thought that I've had before. And I think is something that I've said on the internet before. But I want to say it to you two. Are Lunchables just the American version of a bento box?
Yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm, for sure.
I think so.
Yeah.
For shizzle. Mm-hmm. Now here's the real question. Are hot dogs a sandwich?
Yes.
Yeah.
For sure.
Is water wet?
No, it's a liquid.
The answer is exactly. Water cannot be wet. Water can only make things wet. I will die on this hill.
I would argue that while water cannot be wet itself, its only quality is being wet. And so the only way that we can tell if it's wet is by getting something wet, therefore the water is wet.
I would disagree.
Because then the descriptor of the thing is then wet. It is not in a state of wet. It is in a state of liquid.
But the only way it interacts with the world is by being wet.
Here's the thing. If I pour soda on a plate, I then pour water on the plate with the soda. Was it the water that made the soda wet?
Wait, what?
No, yes, because the water already was in the soda. The soda already was water with added stuff. So you've just diluted the soda and not increased or decreased the amount of wetness.
You've definitely increased the amount of wetness because there's more liquid on the plate now. Also,
I don't
why
think
are you
so.
Pouring soda on your plate, Elise? Do we need to have a talk?
Because all my cups are in the dishwasher.
I think that things are either wet or they're not wet. I don't think there's an amount of wetness. I think if a thing is wet, then it's wet.
What about moist?
That is not true. There is a difference of how much something has absorbed water, and thus something can be more wet than something else.
No, for sure. But if you're, like, wearing a shirt or whatever and it gets wet, like, the shirt's just wet. Even if it's not drenched, it's still wet.
Yeah, the shirt is wet. The water in the shirt is not wet.
The water in the shirt
is what's making the shirt wet.
Then what? Then the water is, by definition, a wet thing. It transfers its wetness to other things.
Nah.
False. Mm-mm.
It's like saying the sun is not on fire, it just gets things on fire. Or the sun is not hot, it just gets things hot. Like, no. A thing can have the qualities of the thing that it also makes things. You know what I mean?
I feel like the point has changed since you started.
Welcome
I don't think
podcast
it has.
Where we debate pointless arguments.
Water is wet, and I'm standing on this hill.
You and Sleeth are going to both water die is not wet. On hills opposite each other.
I didn't necessarily say die, but I am standing on it.
This is when we, like, if this was a movie, this is when it would fade out to, like, us on two separate hills just shaking our fists at each other. Like, and then it would fade to black and roll credits.
Anyways, thanks for listening to our podcast. This has been Biohazard.
Tweet at us if water is wet.
Please don't tweet at us with that.
No, tweet at us. Tweet at the Biohazard the Report Twitter immediately on your thoughts on whether or not water is wet.
Oh my god. It's okay. Nobody listens to this podcast anyway.
I mean, that's a fair point. Nobody wanted to send us their cool apocalypse name, so I don't think they'll tweet at us on whether or not water is wet.
I will tweet at you about whether or not water is wet.
No! Thank you, Mars, for joining us on this episode.
Fire catches things on fire, but it is still fire.
What? No, that's not even part of the... Okay, anyways, thanks for tuning in, and remember, we're all wet down here.
We're all gonna...
No!
No! No!
Find us on our Twitter at Biohazard Report or our email biohazardreport@gmail.com. Any last closing thoughts that are not related to the water argument?
I think that if you really think about it, aren't all things at least 1% wet?
I'm gonna come to your house and I'm gonna glue all of your fingers together.
Hey, you can find me on the internet. I stream at Cozy Goth Mars Wednesdays I won't be able to stream anymore though because of the fingers thing.
Because all your fingers are gonna be one hand.
Theo's gonna have to take over the Resident Evil streams, and I'll do the commentary. That's fine.
Yeah, I'm playing Resident Evil now.
Yeah.
On the stream. I have a question for Celise though. Given the options, would you rather watch this movie or any of the Resident Evil live-action movies?
Oh, that's rough, because I really liked 3.
Okay, how about this? Would you rather watch this one or number 4?
No. I would rather watch this one for sure.
Okay, where does this... Okay, this is my actual... Where does this movie fit into your ranking?
Mm. Oh, for shizzle. I have to... Okay.
My reading, I don't know if it'll even fit in my reading, because this is just a whole different genre.
You gotta fit it into the rating. This is...
Oh, God. Well, then it's gonna go above 1, then. If it's a rating on how much I would want to watch this movie over other movies, it's gonna go above 1.
Okay, so I think... So, reminder, my ranking of the live-action movies was 3, 1, 4, 6, 2, 5. I think I would probably put it between 3 and 1, right? So I'd watch 3... I'd watch this again, and then I'd watch the rest of it.
Okay, yeah, that's fair.
I think it would be very fun, and you don't have to do this, obviously. It's your podcast, and after this episode, I will fade away into the darkness. But I think it would be very fun, because you're not going to be watching Resident Evil movies forever, but I do think it would be fun if you just continued trying to fit them into the ranking.
That would be really hard, because we have a lot of movies to get through.
We do.
I'm just saying I would personally love, you know, of a complete rating of all of the horror game movies that exist.
Okay, we'll try.
Is that too much to... I only ask for this one thing.
Don't you dare.
We will try, but we're not going to promise
Hey, don't promise anything to me. I'm okay, a fucking fae spirit and it will become contractual.
I guess I already ended it, but I'll end it again. Thanks for joining us for this episode of Biohazard the Report. And remember, you're all going to die down here. Thank you.